Oh yeah, it does it every time. I'm sitting here thinking, am I gonna have the energy to do this? That music hits and it becomes our Eye of the Tiger, our theme song. Ready to rock and roll, ready to box it out. Finally awake, time to shake things up. The storm in the beginning of the main theme. Oh man, I'm just jacked up right now. Hold on, where's the seatbelt? Hey, this is Richard Grund along with Joe Citrone. It's time for Reflections in the Dark, freestyling, which means you don't know what we're going to say. And I guarantee you, you don't know what we're going to say. And this is Firefall Talk Radio. And let me bring my partner on here. How are you, Joe?
Well, Richard, I'm doing great. And right now I am using my extra seat belt and I have my parachute ready to go. So if I have to abort mission, I can just go that way. Cause I have a feeling it's all over the place tonight. So, but it is good to be here. And as always, I want to welcome our listening audience for being with us and enjoying this beautiful weekend. And it has been beautiful here in New England. We hit almost 70 degrees. So you can imagine that was a heat wave. I have sunburn on my face.
Wow, that is for New England in mid-April. Yeah.
So it's, you know, at least I know that the good weather's coming in. The cold weather is done. And we'll look forward to a nice summer and, well, finish the spring and go into a nice summer. And we'll see what we do here in the Reflections in the Dark. But right now, we're ready to amp off. We're taxiing out to the runway right now.
Yeah, I know I mentioned last week we had David Weatherly, the author of The Black Eyed Children. There was some technical issue this week. We weren't able to connect. So as soon as we get him back, we'll let you know. We did ask you about your input on the scheduling change. And out of the couple hundred people that listen, we got three or four emails. No decision made yet. And I hear you, all that wrote did say that you look forward to Sunday night. And there are a lot of people that talk about this, but it's Joe's voice and my voice that you want to hear talk about it. And I appreciate that. We don't compromise. We have nothing to sell. We're not here to manipulate you. So that is part of the consideration. As soon as we've got that worked out, we'll let you know. Last thing, I've made an announcement of Firefall Studio coming together, and it is coming together, but it's slowly. I know some of you have written me, when will it happen? When can I sign up? When are you going to do the webinars? Well, I will do that. I promise. It will happen, but I just don't have the money lying around that it's going to take to do that. And right now, the budget's about $2,500 to turn that bedroom, spare bedroom, into a soundproof broadcast video studios, but it's going to happen. I've made that commitment. I realize that we need to get the word out. We need to start doing the teaching. We need to start doing the online classes on warfare, on how to handle what's going on, because there's just so much going on in the world that I decided we needed to chat. And as you can see, I'm a little fired up, so I've got to be careful. As Joe knows, that he's been around when the fire gets loose. And I don't want to scorch anybody, because some of you baby Christians, some of you are, you know, along the way, you know some things, or you think you know some things. And but I just felt like it was time to talk about some things. And real quickly, one of the scriptures that we talk about here on the show, and we do in the Bible study, is either Matthew 24 or Luke 21. And the one I have in front of me is Luke 21:8. And this is where Jesus said, "Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he." And there are quotation marks, which means he's talking about himself, saying, "I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." You know what that means? There are a lot of people out there running around claiming that they know Jesus as Lord, that he's coming soon. And buy your end time package now, your seeds for your food, your gas masks, your salt tablets for the radiation. You know what, folks? It gets real frustrating after doing this since 2010. How many of you are still deceived by the snake oil salesman? I mean, from the time of the magic elixirs in the carnival to now, supply and demand says as long as people are willing to buy it, somebody's going to supply it. And when Joe and Joe can confirm this, when we first got together in 2007 because of Patrick Heron, and then we started to talk about this concept of a online show, and out of that grew Reflections in the Dark, and it took a little while for it to come together. But then once we went on the air, it'll be 5 years next month, the idea was we weren't going to compromise, we weren't going to sell out, and that we were going to expose everything possible, shining the light into the shadows, into the darkness, so that you, the listener, would have no more excuses. And I don't understand how 5 years later, you're still being fooled. Let me let you get in here, Joe, because if I keep going, then I'm just going to melt my computer.
Well, listen, I already know where you're going here, because if you don't take a cool down break right here, like a little 20-second timeout, it's gonna go way off. I could feel it. When the word frustrated comes out, that is the prequel. So, well, you know what it is? I mean, and that's a beautiful scripture that you were just reading. And one of the main things is, and this is what I think, and this is probably, we can use this for Reflections in the Dark. You get people who really read the Bible. Now, and you know this. Listen, Richard, how many times have you dealt with people that when you're talking to them about scripture or when you were counseling them, you know, they can quote the scriptures fine. They could tell you. Matter of fact, they'll give you word for word that scripture. And if you say one little word different from that scripture, one separate, you know, and just happen to say something different, they'll correct you. So it's not that they don't know the word of God. They do study. And that's fine. I understand that. And the same thing with us with Reflections of the Dark. We have people that listen. But I think what the problem is taking what Jesus said, instead of worrying about word for word what a scripture is, try to understand the message behind that scripture and how you receive it, whichever way you receive it, whichever translation that you can receive that to get it into your head so that light bulb goes off. And then you say, now I got it. Jesus already warned us that we would be deceived. Jesus already said that there's going to be false prophets in the world and people that are going to come in his name. You can't say it any clearer than that. Still, people are deceived because they are blinded by what they see, because they walk mostly, in my opinion, by sight rather than faith. Yes, they can say that they live by this scripture and they meditate on it, but as soon as conflict comes or something happens or somebody comes in with this cool word or this cool way of saying scripture or the snake oils and all that stuff, then they deviate and they go. And then when it gets bad and they get spanked, then they go back to that scripture, and it's like a revolving door. I think the same thing is happening with shows like ourselves. We can say it over and over and over and again, and people will get it that week, but then there's a 5, 6, 7 day gap before, you know, we come back on again to give you that fire again. And that's where the danger zone, that's where the war is happening. The war is happening in between that. So it really just comes down to constantly being in fellowship, constantly trying to walk in the spirit as much as you possibly can.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of craziness in the world. More Christians beheaded, I think either today or yesterday. I don't know when the video was actually taken. I know when it got ISIS beheaded more Coptic Egyptian Christian. So the bloodshed, the persecution. But I think the thing that's starting to get to me is that we are so smart as a society, yet we're so dumb. We have so much access to the internet, to digital media, to smartphones, to tablets, to all this information, this ocean of information, yet we still forget that you can't drink salt water. And what I mean by that is you can't just open your mouth and take it all in. Case in point, this week, this past Monday, Walmart, overnight, without warning, closed 5 stores, put 2,200 people out of work. 2 of the stores were in Texas, Livingston and Midland. 1 was in California, Pico Rivera, Braden, Florida, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. 7 p.m. on Monday, doors closed. Workers weren't notified when they showed up for work. That was it. And the conspiracy people went crazy. 295 full-time workers, 248 part-time staffers out of work. 6 months, Walmart claiming that they would be closed for extended repairs for 6 months due to plumbing problems. Okay, I get the whole, there's something wrong with this picture. You don't shut your doors for plumbing issues, especially when you haven't pulled any permits yet. But then the conspiracy websites, of which I've started to disengage from, went into overdrive with every possible scenario that I was thinking about it before I came on the air. I made my nice cup of green tea. I've got my little Spark energy drink here in case I begin to lag. We've become Chicken Little. Those of us that do this or listen to the prophecy, end time stuff, we've become Chicken Little since 2008, maybe even before then. And every time something happens, oh, Walmart closed 5 stores. I must stock up on canned food. I must get those. I must fill it. Oh, we got to get water. And then a couple of months later, you either drink it or you got to throw it out because it went bad. And we do this over and over and over, and we do this over and over and over. And then finally, one day, there's going to be a real emergency, and none of your friends and family are going to listen because 9,000 times later, you finally told the truth. And here's my point. Okay, Walmart is closing 5 stores. There's something bogus about it. Even the municipalities are saying, hey, nobody told us. Walmart is saying, look, if we don't reopen by June 19th, you'll be eligible for severance pay. If we can get you a full-time job or a part-time job elsewhere, we'll get you a transfer. Is there something funny about this? Absolutely. But I'm not going to waste my energy or my mental well-being on trying to figure out, oh, is this a response to union problems or because of the pay raises or Obamacare or they FEMA staging centers? I saw an article that popped up on my news feed. Oh, they're DHS tunnels that are being built underneath the United States, and it just goes on and on and on. And my question becomes this: what does this have to do with anything?
That's true. Look at it this way. We understand, and I understand, that we're going to be blindsided by a lot of these tragic events or companies closing down or people are going to be out of work and you know, the chaos in the world and the beheadings and ISIS. I mean, really, the list goes down. It's endless. And we can dwell on this. We can grieve over it. We can be sad, upset, frustrated, angry, however, whatever emotion that we can tie into. I'm sure we have all felt it just watching the news. And that's why I try to avoid the news as much as I can. But we also have to do research and read into a lot of this stuff and do our homework. So unfortunately, as an investigator, you have to investigate a lot of the things that we try to avoid. But I think what's happening is I can see it for the secular community. But when we're talking about us, the Christian community, we know these things are going to happen. We don't, once again, Jesus pretty well tells us what is going to happen. He may not go into deep detail in the scripture about the topic of events that are going to happen, because obviously we're in a whole new age here, a new era. So obviously he's not going to say, well, beware of Walmart's closing down. But pretty much with everything that he's talked about, everything that's in the Bible, it pretty well covers all this wide range of topics. So we can be upset. We can be frustrated. We can view this as, wow, this is a shame. But we should also realize that this is expected to happen. People are going to be out of work. People are going to lose their jobs. Companies are going to close. It's going to give you, and this is where it gets strategic. This is the warfare aspect of things. When people get out of work and they lose a job and they're worried about where they're going to go, do they stop and pray? Do they put their faith into the Lord then? Or do they take it into their own hands? I mean, look, a lot of the robberies, the things that are happening, banks getting held up, a lot of the time, it's not because somebody's psycho or deranged to do that. It's because I was reading this one article about this guy who robbed two banks. He robbed both banks, and he did not – listen to this story. He robbed two different banks. He robbed the banks. He got, I think it was $30,000. I think it was $30,000. He got the $30,000 to only turn around and pay the mortgage company what he owed for his mortgage and pay the bills that he needed to do that. Then he turned himself in. He ended up getting 4 years. I think he got 4 years in prison due to maybe the judge had some sort of compassion on him as to why. So he robbed from one bank to get to another bank to keep his family off the streets. So these things are going to happen. It's just a matter of when your faith needs to be put to the test. Are you going to be blindsided by the things you see? Or are you going to be the person who is quoting the scripture that supposedly lives by that scripture and you know it well enough? Are you going to follow that, or are you going to let the world infect you? So that's where the test is. That's where the enemy gets to leak in, because, you know, everybody's got that limit. Everybody's got that they can be pushed so far until they just snap. And that's what I think we're in. We're in a time where the enemy is testing the waters out here and seeing how far we can be pushed and who's going to stand firm and who's going to snap. And that's the balance.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about everything we've talked about. Now, I know that when we first started this 5 years ago, a lot of this was new. There weren't that many shows on the air. And of course, that has grown exponentially. And you look back on it now and go, and I've listened to some of the older shows go, wow, so what we thought was contemporary was going to happen, A, didn't happen. And B, when you do your homework, you see that it's happened other times in society. People living during the time of Hitler and the Nazis and World War II and everything that was going on, I would suspect they're the same people. Oh, the Lord's coming back and you got to do this and you got to do that. Well, here's what I think, and there's another aspect to this I want to run to. If this isn't inspiring you to get on your knees or to open your Bible or to begin to talk to people about, hey, if this is the end, where are you going to spend eternity? If this isn't inspiring you to help people, instead it's inspiring you to get more knowledge and to buy supplies and to hunker down and to listen to some of these doomsday prophets that if you're not ready to lock and load and go to war, then you're a pansy. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have a lot of friends who are ex-military, ex-law enforcement, or current law enforcement. If you think that you're going to go toe-to-toe with the New World Order on that level, you live in a fantasy world. You better have some supernatural power. You better be jacked up with some faith and the gifts of the Spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to work. But tied to the Walmart thing, in my news feeds all week long, and I'm probably listening to myself, need to unsubscribe. is something called Jade Helm, Jade Helm 15. Special operations military exercise that began on July 15th and runs to September 15th. Yes, that is July to September. Army Special Operations Command announced at the beginning of it that the size and scope of the mission set it apart from any other training exercises they had done. This is a quote from Army Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria, the command spokesman. He said in an email, "The nature of warfare is always changing, and U.S. Army Special Operations Command's mission is to make certain the Army's various special operations forces are trained, equipped, organized to successfully conduct worldwide special operation in support of our nation's interests." He goes on to say, "Training exercise Jade Helm is going to assist our special operations soldiers and leadership in refining the skills needed to assist an ever-changing foreign threat." And this is taking place in the American Southwest, where it was the picture here. Hold on. It's in Utah. It's in part of California. It's in Texas. So it's all in that area of the country. And U.S. Army Green Berets, the Special Forces, Marine Special Ops Command, Navy SEALs, Air Force Special Ops, they're all doing these drills in what's considered an unprecedented exercise on American soil. Now, when I first read it, it alarmed me. So I reached out to one of the members of our team, who's a retired Navy SEAL. I said, "What do you think?" He said, "We used to do these all the time. You get to practice here on American soil. You do what you do, though. Then you go to the foreign place where the mission is, and you've had a couple of dry runs, which you then adapt according to the locale. So this isn't unusual." You know, they send out the videos, you've seen them, of the trains upon trains of trucks and tanks. Martial law is coming. Martial law is coming. No, they're actually moving the equipment either from one base to another or into storage or to one of these exercises. Here's my point. If you don't do your homework, if you don't read, if you don't check your facts, and you're writing the blogs, or worse, listening to these doomsday prophets, who, when you go to their page, there's just one little section for the article or the video, and 90% of the rest of their page is, "Buy this product, buy that product, buy this book, buy this DVD, buy this vitamin drink, buy this colloidal silver." And you almost can't read the article because there's so much else going on. And then I feel like I'm in the carnival and I just wait for the bearded lady to come out. It's crazy.
The bearded lady.
Yes. Yes. "It ain't over till the bearded lady sings." There it is.
I love that. "It ain't over till the bearded lady sings." That's a good one. I think at this point where we are, and we talked about this over the past few weeks anyway, the problem has always been, at least, I mean, I can't answer this question for everybody, but I think I just lost the concept. I had something at the tip of my tongue, what I wanted to say, and now it's faded because the bearded lady has been stuck into my head just now.
You saw the bearded lady. Oh, that's a new horror movie. It's a new horror movie. If you see the bearded lady, you'll die in 7 days.
I got it. I think I just got it. I was watching the movie The Conjuring. Now, I've already seen it a couple of times, you know, on and off, try to study it or try to watch it, just see little things. Obviously, we know the real story and what Hollywood put out were two totally different things and so on and so forth. I mean, we can make an argument with a lot about that show. But here's the other thing. And I know that Hollywood also has to hide and conceal the name of Jesus, and I get all that. They have to use generic names, and they have to say, you know, "In the name of God" instead of "the name of Lord" or "Jesus," and I get that. But here's another thing, and this may segue into something that you and I were talking about before the show. So you want to go ahead and you do these things and you want to get involved with helping somebody. So say the movie The Conjuring, say you're in that situation where you have to go in there as a believer. Okay. Well, just take it this way. You go in there as a believer. You have faith in God. You claim to know what you're doing. And then you battle this and you go toe-to-toe with these forces. You've seen what it can do. And you turn around and you may not be successful, or you may be successful. I mean, in the movie The Conjuring, they were. But I think the biggest problem is one of two different avenues. The person that is being helped, it's up to them whether they can maintain that positive lifestyle moving forward after that experience through what they've learned and through what they know not to do. It's up to them in their free will if they're going to bring it back or they're going to move forward in a positive direction. But what's even more frustrating is the people who are helping people who know this, who know what to do, who've been educated time and time again with understanding scripture, understanding prayer, understanding the things that you need to do every single day to start your day, to go through the day, to get through the day. And still, they tend to get sidetracked and do things that are totally not Christ-like at all, and then wonder why they're having problems again. When they know what to do, what happens? The question to you, Richard, is what happens in that transition? Okay, if you told me that you've got spirits in your house, it's a demonic entity, I see the proof, I understand it, you show me the evidence, you come in, you get rid of the thing, it's gone. You tell me different steps that I could take moving forward to not have this come back again. Why would I want to do something to bring it back again when I knew the severity and the danger that it was? So I guess if you go through the fire once and you get burned, why do you want to jump back into the fire? I still don't understand that.
Because the problem that allowed the paranormal issue to happen isn't solved. And this is what I mean by that. People that usually call us are in a very bad, very dire situation that either no one wants to help them or others have tried and have made it worse. Then we get there and we help them. And we always leave them with this statement. We've gotten you to ground zero. We've cleaned everything out. We've closed all the access. Now it's up to you to maintain it. And this is how you need to maintain it. We give them the information. We offer them access to us. Unfortunately, more often than not, they continue to do what they did before. They continue to live the life that they lived before. And those things come back because the problem was them. And I know that sounds cold, but this is the one thing I've discovered. And, you know, I've been on social media and I use it to let you guys know what's going on. And on my Facebook, I stay in touch with the people that I'm close to. But I've also reached my limit with social media because people post their drama on social media. And what I want to say, and it would be rude, is it's time to join the No More Drama Club. Because you're complaining about your son, your daughter, your husband, your car, your job, your boss, your rash, your dog, and all of it is about you. You're the source of your drama, the personal paranormal experience. You are the one who let this thing in. You are the one who is letting it in again. There just comes a point, and this may be a roundabout answer, I don't know how many people really want help in changing the situation. They just want the manifestation to stop. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. And you've explained certain things that I had questions. And I was thinking about this, you know, over the past few days anyway, just wondering and saying, how could, you know, how could you repeat something like that and know what you need to do and been instructed? It's almost like this. It's really simple. It's kind of like it's a no-brainer when you think about it. Your doctor says that you have high cholesterol, so you take the cholesterol medication. You have to eat good. You start changing your diet, and your cholesterol lowers. Why would you do anything to escalate your cholesterol again when your doctor already told you having high cholesterol could lead to, you know, clogged arteries and all the complications that come with that? So if you know what to do, why do you go back? And the only thing that I can think of is you get a little complacent. That emergency, that wow factor of when that doctor first told you, wow, you've got, you know, high cholesterol and we have to put you on medicine and we got to change your diet or whatever we got to do, you know, see me in 3 months. And then you go like a madman for 3 months to bring your cholesterol down. And then once you get a good report and everything's fine, then you just go back off the grid and you just eat and do whatever you want again. And then in 4, 5, 6 months to a year down the road, it's high again. Now you're back again. You're like that boy who cried wolf. It's just,
well, but think about that. You work in the health industry. The health industry counts on the fact that nobody's going to keep that New Year's resolution.
True.
That they're going to have to keep coming back to the gym. I remember when I worked in the health club industry in New York for 10 years. And they would always do the membership drive, and they'd always, you know, you'd get bonuses if you signed up new members. And I finally went downstairs and sat with one of the lead salespeople and closed the door. I said, okay, what would happen if everybody we signed up actually showed up at the same time? And he said they would probably shut us down because we would break all the health code laws. I said, then why do you keep selling memberships? I said, beside the money factor. He said, because 90% of everybody who joins won't come back. They count on the fact that you're not going to follow through. And I think the enemy's the same way. When we go and help somebody, the enemy counts on the fact that after we're gone, it may take a month, it may take 2 months, it may take 4 months, it may take a year. Those people are going to do what they did before and let them back in. Is it laziness? Yes. Is it a bondage that they've not been set free of? Possibly. But that's why, you know, we offer them access through emails, through phone calls, through Skype. We will continue to work with you. Unfortunately, what we have found is that once the problem's gone, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Don't worry. I'm good. I prayed with somebody. Somebody was referred to me. Spent an hour, 2 hours on the phone with the person. Lord gave me revelation knowledge. We found out what the issue was, prayed with this person. I sent an email with the list of books, and including the scriptures, everything that needed to be, you know, dealt with and read. About 2 weeks later, I said, just checking in. Did you get any of those books? Oh, no, I'm great. Everything's fine. All the activity has stopped. The anxiety's gone. And I wrote back and I said, but wait, what you just said is the external manifestations are gone. The problem's still there. I didn't hear from them again. That told me they just wanted the external part of it gone. They really did not want to deal with the issue. And we see that. Look at these paranormal shows that we talk about and make fun of. Now, forgive me, folks. I'm not trying to be rude. But if you watch any of these shows where you see what they go through, are any of these people normal looking? Are these healthy, functional families, good marriages, good family? Are these scenarios that when you look at them, you're completely shockplaced, or even without any knowledge or any experience in what we do, you can immediately figure out what's wrong?
Well, you know, here's you just made an interesting point prior to this. That listen, they want to get rid of the problem externally, not internally, because they know that there's a lot that you have to do and there's things that you have to give up to get to that next level, or at least to break those strongholds, to get out of that bondage completely. You can say that you want it gone, and you can say that you don't want to be in bondage to a particular thing, but obviously saying it and doing it are two different things. Now, here's the flip side of that. Those are for the people that have seen that proof, who have experienced true paranormal, supernatural encounters where they got traumatized by what they saw. And out of sight, out of mind, after a while, things start to get a little calmer. They think, okay, then it's gone, and they move on. What about this? And this could be still tied into the strategic aspect of warfare. What about the people that believe that they're having a paranormal experience, who just want the attention, who want somebody to come out there and address that situation and give them somebody to talk to and go through the motion of conducting a case when something supernatural may not really have happened at all to them, but they want to believe that. Is that still, Richard, now the question is that still demonic in nature? What I meaning that if there's nothing physically going on, you know, objects moving, shadow people, whatever they want to report, it's more of a psychological thing. Does that still put it in a category of demonic or supernatural? Or is that more medically to say, hey, look, you may have to see a counselor, or you may have to see a psychiatrist or whatever. Is there still room to try to help that person spiritually? Or you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it's almost like it's that gray area in doing what we do, especially as a ministry, of is this person just looking for attention? Are they lonely? Is this really happening? I know, you know, we spend a lot of time praying about it. We get confirmation. But how much of what they're dealing with or experiencing is the end result of their own issues? I mean, that's why we, you know, when people write, and I get a lot of emails, as you do too, hey, I need your help, can you come here? Unless A, the Lord says go, and B, he supplies the money, it's not going to happen. Otherwise, we'd be running all over the place, burning ourselves out for cases that really don't need our help. So some of the people that reach out, I'm trying to find the words here because I don't want to be unfeeling or lack compassion. As I stated before, most people are in the position they're in, and it's usually their fault. The enemy can only do what we allow them to until we finally give up control. And of course, again, the cases we take are the worst of the worst. So it's at that point. But then you get around them, and you get around their family, and you get around the dysfunction, and you see why they are the way they are. You try to help them. You try to point them in that right direction. You try to minister to them. And you may do that over a period of years. Some people change. Some people don't. When I was in, you know, when I was in a church doing this, and people were coming in, and I was doing, you know, one a day, five a week, a lot of those people just wanted somebody to talk to. Were they experiencing something? Maybe, maybe not, but most of them just wanted somebody to talk to. And as most counselors will tell you, and the people just need somebody to care. But there does come a point, and I'm sorry I got stuck stuttering there. There does come a point, though. Paul talks about there's a point where you stop eating milk and you chew meat, you're drinking milk. You know, it's time to come off the pablum, time to grow up. There comes a point, especially in the walk of a believer, where if you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, Einstein said that's the definition of insanity. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do this. I don't know if I made my point, but after doing this now, for me, since I got saved in 88 with SRT, you know, since 2007 and taking the cases and meeting the people and going where we go, most people just want to know that somebody will listen and somebody cares. And even when we do help somebody, I walk away with the knowledge that potentially they may go back to being just the way they were.
Well, I think what happens is when you had your church, you know, you had people coming to you and you were counseling them, and yeah, they were people that just wanted somebody to talk to, but you were in that position at that time to give them that ear, to be there for them. Sometimes they need somebody to talk to. What we do with SRT is a
different level. Yeah, it's much more specialized. Right.
It's much more specialized. So what happens is all those people, if you were to try to help everybody who needed help, you'd be broke. You couldn't be able to do it because it's just too much traveling. And a lot of the people can't afford to move you here and bring you here and get you there. So you have to separate it. You have to draw that line where you could say, okay, there's three people who need me. What is the worst case? Who is in dire straits? Who is really having the supernatural? So it's almost like you have to pick and choose through prayer and all that, and praying about it. But in the end, it really comes down to who really requires the supernatural attention, you know, who, you know, that's where you have to go with it, because we are in that day and age when we're dealing with a lot of people. And like you said, it may not be that suburban family where everything is going great and all is well. You may be in a situation where that person or those people can't get you there. And you want to be there. You want to be there, and they can't really compensate to get you there. And if you come off a little too cold, you don't want to deter them from seeking help and putting a bad sour taste in their mouth. So yeah, you have to do it delicately, or find somebody, another church, another pastor, another team, a group, people that you trust that in that area that may be able to help them. So it's still, once again, a lot of the things that happen and go on behind the scenes, it's all part of the what the enemy, I think, is involved in. It's how strategic he could go. I mean, we can go strategic. Obviously, we're part of God's army here. I get all that, but we also have to understand that if you're truly dealing with something that's demonic in nature, genuinely, a genuine case, a genuine problem, it's not going to be that easy. You may not get the bureau that flies across the room, or you may not see a full-blown apparition or entity. It may be in more subtle ways. You've just got to be able to discern what's that subtle, those subtle things that are happening. You can't just write it off as, oh, that's just life. You have to say, okay, what did Scripture say about this? Or is there something that has a reference to what is happening that God warned you against? Obviously, if God says, do not, in Deuteronomy, I think it's 17 or 18, don't involve yourself with mediums, then there's a perfectly good reason why. It's not because he just said, don't do it. There's a reason why, because these are all doorways. These are all portals. These are all deceptions that you're opening up yourself to by giving into them, by trusting in something else as that person or seeking familiar spirits or necromancing or anything like that. You put yourself in the line of fire. So for you to go ahead and do that after you've already been told, then you are going to open up yourself for something to happen. Now, when that does happen, and you've read in the Bible and know that it's not good for you, and you do it, now you want to go back and find a group or find a person who's spiritual and say, I need help. This is what I did. Or sometimes they won't even tell you that they messed around with something. But sometimes you have to just pull it out after, to get to the truth of the matter is. But if the Bible said it, and this is how the show opened up, same thing with what Jesus said. If the word of God says don't do it and you do it, then you seek, after you've already done it, seek spiritual counsel to help you with the situation. The first thing you're going to really say is, well, then why did you do it when you knew it was wrong? And they can't give that answer.
No, which gets us back to they create their own problems. The drama is there for a reason. I would prefer to err on the side of, I don't want to say caution, but if somebody needs our help, I'd rather go somewhere and be wrong than turn them down and send them into the hands of a new age practitioner or to somebody else who's going to come burn sage, and things may feel peaceful for about a week and then all hell literally breaks loose. And those are the cases that we tend to get. They've tried everybody else. It's a raging hornet's nest, and now they want us to fix it. And you look at them and say, the only reason we're here is because you made a series of bad choices. You bought the Ouija board. You went to the Reiki palm healing session. You went to a palm reader. You bought the crystals. You bought into the lie. And this is what hit me today as I was thinking about this. And we don't have time to go into the Reiki thing because I think it's too important to rush through it. But bottom line is, Reiki is the demonic counterfeit to the biblical laying on of hands. Do your own homework. Start reading. But the guile of the serpent has never left the garden. It's still there. And the church and people that call themselves believers, and I did that little thing with my fingers, believers, they need to wake up. The church, the people at large need to wake up. And here's where I'm going to set the thing ablaze. Witchcraft is in the church just like it's in the world. I've talked about charismatic witchcraft in my book, The Supernatural Battle. But there's other witchcraft, the witchcraft of manipulation. Where you are manipulated into an offering, or you're manipulated to serve, or you're manipulated to do things, that's witchcraft. Or the control factor. Or you have people in leadership that are both, you know, Jezebel, she's Jezebel, he's Ahab. And as I've talked about, Jezebel can't exist without Ahab. David Wilkerson did a tremendous teaching on witchcraft in the church, and I saw the printed version of it. It all comes down to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You look in congregations, they have adultery, they have the sin. Yes, they're human, and I'm not bashing fellowship, true fellowship. What I am talking about is the con game of some of the churches and even the synagogues out there right now. You have a man who claims to be your pastor, your rabbi, your shepherd. A, doesn't know your name. B, doesn't show up when you have a problem. And you're calling me? Personal rant here. Just personal rant. If I'm out of line, forgive me. Over the last 26 years, I cannot tell you the amount of miles I put in, the amount of hours, the amount of tears and sweat I've put in for people that are sitting under somebody else's leadership in somebody else's pew, filling their tithe basket every week. And I won't say no, and I won't turn my back on them. But the fact is this, the mess you're in is because you have put yourself under somebody that you should be running from. Now, are there good churches? Yes. Are there good fellowships? Yes. But you need to wake up. You need to listen to the Spirit when he says, hey, something's not right here. Well, I signed that membership card and I made that commitment and touch not my anointed. So this must be the devil that I'm thinking like this. It's the Holy Spirit telling you the truth. And the truth is, this isn't what Yeshua, this isn't what Jesus said. This is not the Book of Acts model. This is the Constantine IBM corporate model that has nothing to do with the Bible that I read from. Folks, it's time to wake up. You're running out of time. On Wednesday night, I said something. I don't normally do prophecy. I don't normally give words. I'm going to tell you what I said Wednesday. It's getting ready to go down. Somewhere between now and Feast of Tabernacles in October of this year, all hell's going to break loose. It's going to come to the end of a Shemitah year. It's going to come to the end of a financial cycle. A lot of stuff going on in the Middle East that could pop off at any moment. All of that's going to take us into a place that the paranormal stuff we talk about and we show in our videos will be nothing compared to what's coming. And then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? Folks, it's time to wake up. It's time to listen to the music. Last year was, you know, awake. Now it's you're finally awake. And some of you write me and say, oh, I'm finally awake. And then I see what conferences and seminars you're going to. And I'm thinking, no, you're not really awake yet. You've got the corner of one eye open. Folks, it's time to wake up.
Well, I think this show is a good show tonight because it really dealt with the surgical procedures of what we need to do in order to refine ourselves, to not let the things that we see deter us from our overall plan or our overall goal, our overall goal. And the bottom line is this for me, what this show told me. This show tonight said this: the Bible is the Word of God. We need to use that as a tool to understand how to deal with these dark times. If the words of the Lord and what's in the Bible is not enough to get you to change your style, change your lifestyle, use your faith, move forward, take heed to the information that's being told, it's going to be much more difficult for man to tell you those same things. Because if you're not getting it from God, then it's going to be really difficult to get it from man. Well, I believe you'll receive it, but how long are you going to believe that and stick with that? And that's where I think the problem is right now. We need to go back to that, to the Word. We need to say, when Jesus says something, and this is why we're not supposed to do it, then let's understand it for a reason why we're not, and let's believe that. So when these things come up, when these false prophets pop up and claiming to be godly people or working, in the will of God, let's know them by their fruits. And that's another thing. So walk in my message tonight, or my advice to give after tonight's show, is to walk by faith, not by sight. Listen to the voice, discern what God is telling you, as opposed to what your rational thinking is or somebody else is telling you, not to be easily manipulated by that. We need to walk in the Spirit more.
Amen. Amen. Now, don't write me and say you said I shouldn't go to church. It wasn't what I said. What I said is you should be in a place that meets the model that the Lord designed and that you see in the Book of Acts. That's my opinion. But if you have a hireling and you don't have a shepherd, you have somebody who's not willing to go toe-to-toe with the wolves, or if you are struggling to just get an appointment to talk to your pastor or the leaders and have somebody listen to you. If you're reaching out to me, here, let me just put it this way. If you are reaching out to me for help, then there's something wrong where you go to church. You should be able to find my kind of help there. You should have a pastor or a deacon or an elder who cares enough for you to take the time out to do what you're asking me to do. It doesn't mean I won't help you, and it doesn't mean I won't respond, and I'll do the best I can with the resources and the time that I have. But as I sit and get these emails and the phone calls and the times I spend, whether I Skype or we show up, I realize that those people are sitting in somebody else's pew, and they may have been sitting there for a very long time, yet I'm the one that they come to for help. What's wrong with that picture, folks? Where are the leaders? Where are the shepherds? Where are the spirit-filled warriors that have been called to do this in these end times, that as it gets darker and darker? But we're going to fight. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep doing this. Forgive me if this sounds a little harsh tonight, but this has been just a frustrating week, seeing the number of people that hurt and hurting, the wounds that are going on out there. And sometimes it just seems like nobody cares. But we do, and we'll do the best we can with what we've got. That's why we're here. As soon as we know what we're going to do, for now, we'll be here week to week. If something comes up, we'll reschedule. Just bear with us. But know this, we care about you. Those of you that support this and those of you that on Wednesday nights have written to me and said, hey, I have no pastor, will you be covering? I take that very seriously. And I get up each day and I pray for you and I stand in the gap for you with the attitude that if the wolves want to get to you, they got to get past me. So we care about you. We appreciate you. And until the king comes back, we're going to keep doing this. I'm Richard Grund on the behalf of Joseph Trone. This has been a good show. And we're going to leave the light on, folks.